Lesson number 9, Watching and Waiting. As we have noted in passing, Paul sought to correct the erroneous belief of the Thessalonian Christians that the second advent was imminent. His reasoning was that the great apostasy and other signs mentioned in prophecy had to take place before it could occur. They were not to worry about what might happen to their dead Christian loved ones in the interval. Their resurrection was assured by Christ's promise. When Jesus returns, the dead in Christ will be raised first, and then the living saints will be changed. Together they will meet the Lord in the air, and so be taken to heaven to be with him in glory. Until that day, the followers of Jesus were to occupy themselves in the daily round of making a living and waiting patiently for him to appear. Part number 1. The caution repeated. The apostle appealed to the Thessalonians in the context of the second coming and their mustering to meet Christ, not to allow their confidence in the event to be shaken by anything they might hear. They should not allow their minds to be troubled by any revelations or so-called testimonies from the Spirit, nor by any rumored message or letter purporting to come from him that the advent was right upon them. He reminded them of what they already knew, the events which held back the second coming so that Jesus might appear at his appointed time determined by God. The word let, we have emphasized, the time of the King James Version meant to hinder or stop. Paul's expression, he that letteth will let, means he who attempts to prevent will succeed in preventing until he is taken away, and then the man of sin will be revealed. Here Paul indicates that there are invisible forces regulating the development of the papacy. When the proper time arrived, all things would fall into place. Part number 2, the peril of deceit. Paul repeated what the many statements of our Savior had often conveyed to the disciples, the very real possibility of their being deceived by Satan regarding the time of the second coming. In fact, just prior to the advent, Satan himself will seek to impersonate the coming of Jesus. He will use every means of deception, powerful signs, subtle miracles, every underhand device which might seduce those who do not love the truth. They will all eventually believe the lie, thou shalt not surely die, and paganism and spiritualism, false Christianity, will engulf the church. In this context, Jesus urged all believers to watch, keep looking up, constantly be ready as if that day were at hand. Those who fail to do this will soon find themselves among those who have not cultivated a love of the truth. Part number 3, the believer's challenge. The Lord has told his disciples a great deal about the signs which would precede his second coming. His purpose was to strengthen their trust. When they realized that these signs had come to pass, he declared, this should form the basis for their belief and faith. It is fulfilled prophecy that constitutes the basis of faith. In the same vein, Paul reminded the Thessalonians that he had previously warned them of the events which must transpire in history before Christ would return. The believer in each and every age, as we have stressed, has only one lifetime in which to prepare for the second advent. No generation has had any longer time for this process. For this reason, the advent is always near. Each generation must therefore be ready moment by moment because the coming is only a heartbeat away. In this context, the Christian must live in a constant state of preparedness. And this waiting for his Lord to return will require that he continue with all the normal activities of life which occur day by day. Support of his family, conduct of the process of life. And while he is waiting and carrying out this humdrum existence, he will be taxed. His patience will be stretched to the limit. But he must occupy until Jesus returns in patient resolve. Some of the Thessalonians felt that since Jesus was coming so soon, there was no point in working. And Paul said very tartly, he that doesn't work shouldn't eat. So as Christ had said, we must occupy, that is, carry out every normal, legitimate, Christian responsibility in home and society as we are ready for Christ's coming. Part number 4, the ingredients of patience. Throughout his writing, Paul presented the ingredients which will contribute to this patience in the disciple. His faith must constantly grow. This will require a continuous study of the Scriptures, for faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Christian love must be exercised towards his fellow men. Hope in the Advent must be cherished through the gift of God's grace, and the love of God must abound in patience, waiting for Christ's return. Faith, hope, love are the three virtues which undergird the Christian as he or she prepares for the Advent. The believer's attitude must be that of a pregnant woman who patiently awaits the travail of the moment of delivery. The movings of nature must go through their normal progression. When everything is ready, the baby will be born. While they are waiting, Paul reminded the Thessalonians that he had not treated them like a marauding horde of soldiers ready to commandeer or seize whatever prize he wanted. In fact, he had worked for his own living with his own hands. He had occupied, he had carried out his own responsibilities. The disciple must be arrayed in the armor of the true soldier of Christ as he meets the fiery darts of the wicked and carries out the divine daily prescribed program. The Waiting Remnant, part number 5. The Revelator was given a picture of the final believing remnant which will survive all satanic persecutions and become the group of Christians living just before the second coming of Christ. This company will be keeping the commandments of God through the faith given them as a gift by Jesus himself. They will thus have developed righteousness by faith, for all thy commandments are righteousness. This means that they will be arrayed in the fine linen, clean and white, which represents the gift of Christ's righteous character and is the trousseau of the church bride as she prepares for the celestial groom to come and take her home. This week, we have emphasized watching. What are we to watch? Ourselves? What manner of persons we are? Our daily growth? Comparing our lives today with our lives yesterday and yesteryear, comparing our understanding of Christ's love and our response to that love. Let a man, let a woman examine himself, is what Paul said to other readers. So we must watch ourselves, watch unto prayer, watch to see that Satan is not gaining a march on us, so that we may be ready at whatever moment he chooses to return. We are to watch events. What events? Events taking place in the world today. Now, Jesus gave us signs. Ellen White, in Great Controversy, has given a whole plethora of signs. It's remarkable that we never read of China, we never read of Russia, we never read of Hitler's Germany, we never read of Saddam Hussein in the Great Controversy. We don't read about them in the Bible either. But we do read a great deal in the Bible and in Great Controversy on the rise of the little horn, on the mystery of iniquity, on the power of apostate Christianity in the old and new world to form a coterie of churches that will eventually seek to destroy the true church. We are to watch for the signs that are given in the Bible. And Satan uses events. He used Hitler's Germany. He used Stalin's Russia. He used the Japanese, the Chinese powers. He uses events in the Middle East to distract and divert the concentration of the true people of God. We should not be fooled when tempted to read the signs given in the newspapers. We should go to Great Controversy and read there on the subtlety of Satan, on the rise of the papacy, on the events in the religious world which will surreptitiously scoop unwary Christians into the net that Satan has cast. Now, beside watching, we've got to do waiting. What are we to do while we are waiting? Make our understanding of the Scriptures clear. Make our relationships with Jesus Christ vivid and vital. Make our hearts the dwelling place of His Spirit, so that when that day comes and Jesus returns in glory, we may be ready for that coming. Not only waiting, but being ready. I like the emphasis Paul gives at the end of each of his 13 epistles. He takes the unspoken question, what manner of persons ought ye to be? And then answers them. To the Ephesians, they were to be soldiers, with all their accoutrements on, with their weapons prepared, their minds alert, ready to meet the foe. Now to the Thessalonians, keep your eyes fixed on the second coming of Christ. Keep your lives and your daily program attuned to what the Savior would have to do. Move in the day-by-day journey of sanctification toward being holy for God, for holiness is wholeness for God. Watch, be ready. And then when the Lord comes in shining splendor with radiant faces, we will be caught up to meet Him in the air.